This week on The Car Wash, Tekle Madise explains why Odulani will struggle if he stays at Pirates.
It's going to be very, very difficult for him if he has to go back and now being a person that actually pick up the cones and give the players the beat feels.
And just why was Joseph Zinbauer hired?
Two Germans walk into a club in Soweto.
What could go wrong?
Oh, man.
And is Katsande getting enough respect at Kaizer Chiefs?
I don't understand why Kaizer Chiefs will actually get to a point where we're actually discussing Katsande's contract coming to an end.
Today is a great day for a car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on Sokola Duma Radio. This is a Hangana Corner.
It's so bad.
Yeah, sure. A car wash.
So bad.
Good day and welcome to the car wash. I am your host, Slupa. Oh, a little. Messing up my own name.
Slupa.
Who am I? Where am I? What year is it? Good as ember.
And you're not hungover.
And I'm not hungover. Just a 2019 hangover is what I'm feeling.
It's been a big year, hey.
It's been a big year. I am joined in studio by Sean Roberts himself.
Thank you, sir. Good to be here again.
Yes.
Podcast number 7. How exciting.
Yes, yeah. And the penultimate one of the year.
7.
And we also have Tekle Madise. How you doing?
I'm good and you, bro?
All good, all good.
Your boy is okay.
Let us
before we
dive
no, before Ooh, we no? dive into something, Tekle, I got you a gift.
Oh,
because you were so torn up last week on one particular topic. I mean, I've never seen such emotion displayed by you about
what?
This one thing. So I got you some replacement soap for all the times sweaty women have come to your place and taken a shower.
Yes.
Oh, come on.
Yes. Yes. We're looking out for you,
Simon. Simon. Jeez, could have got a Dove or something. Oh, Lux.
That's all the 24-hour okay had.
Yeah. There goes our Lux sponsorship.
2 for 1.
Oh, and the man behind the camera, Simon Strella, thank you very much for that one.
Thank you, Simone.
We've got Coach Rulani. He's gone. Well, he's not gone. He's back on the bench. And Joseph Zinbauer is now the Pirates head coach. Hasn't coached in 2.5 years. Never won a trophy for a club as a manager. Sean, first thoughts and opinions.
Damn it! I don't know. I mean, look, it was on the cards, wasn't it? I mean, to have a 2-0 lead against, I think it was Baraka, wasn't it?
Yeah,
and to let go of that 2-0 lead and draw 2-2, I think that was obviously the final straw.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I blame the chairman for firing him, but you've got to look at the replacement and you think, what, who, how, why? And yeah, I'm a bit shocked, eh? And it is quite impressive that no one caught wind of this either.
Yeah, came out of nowhere.
Yeah, absolutely out of nowhere.
And I mean, this guy, okay, so the last team that he coached, FC Saint Gallen, according to transfermarket.co.za, his record with them was 19 wins, 14 draws, and 30 defeats in 63 games. Does that sound like the right man for the job?
A win percentage of 30%.
Oh, man. You could pass with that in Matrician, though.
Oh, man. Tekle Madise, what do you think?
How are you, Sean?
Oh, man. For you, seeing you, oh, my man. You make my heart smile, bro.
My opinion, I think it was very surprising because just after the draw, and then probably maybe a day or 2 days later, and then there's a new coach that is being announced.
Oh.
Clearly, there's been negotiations behind, you know, which means the coach was about to come anyway.
Mm. So he was appointed probably a couple of weeks ago, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, for the fact that Rulani is still there, you know, he'll help the coach to actually understand the culture of Orlando Pirates as well. And for me, I just said I've always rooted for Rulani because of I know his style of play and the way, you know, all the way Orlando Pirates was playing. Just that the only biggest issue that they had is just putting the ball in the back of the net, you know, to actually get that spirit back of knowing how to win games.
You know, funny, just touching on that, I only found out yesterday that because they employed a striker coach, didn't they?
Mm.
Or a forward coach who left 3 months ago. I didn't even know that. So there's the problem, number one. That's why they're not scoring goals. And number two, Tekle, if you're Alani now, what do you hang around? Do you, you know, I know Rulani's got this big personality and he's got, you know, his own ambitions. Do you hang around now as number two again?
And by the way, he wasn't at the last camp. It was reported yesterday, I think. He didn't join the most recent camp. So they didn't give a reason why, but on your question, do you think that he's, you know, still a little touched, maybe a little upset?
I'm sure he's a little bit touched. First of all, Rulani is a very emotional person as well. And I don't think he actually saw himself as a number two again, especially for a team that he actually tried to coach and be, you know, try to do better things for them. And it's going to be very, very difficult for him if he has to go back and now being a person that actually pick up the cones and give the players the beat for us. He was the one that was giving the instructions. Why are you laughing?
We shouldn't laugh, eh? we can't laugh. I just can't imagine him doing that.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's going to be very interesting to see his reaction in the next 3-4 weeks.
Yeah.
And also to actually check if for him, does he recall this season with the Orlando Pirates as a failure, or maybe as a person that was just there waiting for a head coach to be named.
Yeah, it's a learning curve. I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah, I guess the way he's going to take it actually is going to determine whether he's going to leave or stay there. But it's going to be very weird. Like, for me, if I'm a player, this was a guy who was giving us, you know, instructions and all that stuff, and all of a sudden now he's number two. You know, it's going to be very weird.
And towards the end of Micho's reign, there were rumors of them butting heads and not seeing eye to eye. And
two strong personalities, right?
Yeah.
And so now he has to play second fiddle to a guy again.
Yeah.
A new guy who no one really has any idea what he's about.
Well, what you see in worldwide is you see big coaches, they've got yes men around them.
True.
Do you know what I mean?
True.
Rulani's not a yes man.
Yeah.
He's got his own opinion.
Yeah.
Usually valid, in my opinion. But where do you go from here if you're Rulani Mokoena? Where do you go?
Yeah. And I mean, we were speaking recently about them looking for a striker, but actually it looks like maybe their defense is something that they should focus on first. And so it depends, you know, what does the new coach bring? We don't know. We don't really have a clear profile on him quite yet. All I know is that his best reign as a coach in terms of the level of play was Hamburger SV in the Bundesliga. And he was only there for 7 months, and then he got demoted to the reserves.
The second team, yeah.
So the amount of pressure that he is coming into, because, you know, I checked Twitter, a lot of Pirates fans have mixed feelings about this. And so the pressure immediately, especially given the way that they've started, must be immense.
Of course. And also my biggest issue would be, does he have enough time to actually turn things around? Because now they've got one more game, and then there's a break, and then the 5th of January there's games, and of course he's a coach that will come in and try have or implement his own style of play. And I don't think he's got enough time. I think still we're going to still see Orlando Pirates struggling as well, even though it's going to be a different voice. If it was a South African coach, it would be easier, because of then you know exactly the culture of the players and the team as well. But now he's a foreign coach that hasn't coached in the league before. So,
and we've spoken about this at length, Teko. Like, you need time as a coach,
don't you? Yeah, you need time. And for Orlando Pirates,
PSL's a different ball game, bro.
It's very, very different. So I just feel like, you know, they could have waited. Mm-hmm. That's my opinion. I think they could have waited and see it through, maybe fight for the top eight. And then when the season starts, and then you start with a new coach, and then you've got enough time to actually implement your own style of play. But now I think they're trying to do the damage control, and it has no guarantee, especially with the coach that has such a bad stats. You know, and when you compare that to Rulani, Rulani has been better with the stats. But then again, you're having an international coach that comes as well. Maybe the pressure as well from Kaizer Chiefs, having an international coach that is doing well for the first time after 15 years being in South Africa. How long has he been here? Bruno has been here.
Oh, no, he's basically South African, eh?
Yeah.
So maybe the pressure also comes with that as well, that, you know, we need to maybe look at the international coach or bring in the international style a little bit. And because you can see with Orlando Pirates, you know, they're playing, they're passing the ball, they're doing all the things right. They're playing exciting football, but yet again, there's no results. Yet on the Kaizer Chiefs side, they're not playing exciting football, but the results keeps coming. You know, I think the pressure is there as well, you know. And breaking rights as well, it's important for those two teams. And I don't think it's a good decision that they've done, but I think that the timing was right.
Yeah, definitely.
I give him 4 months.
4 months.
I give him 2.
Take or 2 months. Sue dog?
Yeah, I said end of Feb when I was discussing with Simon. Because yeah.
So
February is rough for them.
So 2.5. So two, three, four.
Yeah, we'll call it 3.
Don't count December, Chief. It's festive. People are it's not football.
2 Germans walk into a club in Soweto.
What could go wrong?
Oh, man. So I got former PSL player Ryan Buerta for 10 quick fire. We got that.
You did or I did?
You did.
Jeez, bro.
I mean.
Taking grads, Lou.
God damn, you know. Boy.
Sorry, I mixed it up because I had him for my starter pack as well.
Jeez. Did you play with the... You ever played with Ryan or against Ryan?
I played against him.
He was hell of an underrated, hey?
Silas, yeah, he had a good left foot.
Lethal left foot. Yeah, ball situations.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. I think I played against him a lot of times.
If you go into his site now, you'd be surprised that he's a footballer.
I'm just looking. It looks like he's been slapped with a wet newspaper. There's so many tattoos, bro.
His website is quite something to behold.
It really is.
It is, eh?
Yeah.
It really is. I was looking at it like, okay, so is this what you guys do after you retire? Not
Damn.
Every PSL player is just like fitness model.
Damn. You know. But yeah, I had a good career. Let's hear what he said.
Hello.
Hello, my boy.
Hello, boy. What's happening?
Are you good?
Yeah, good, good.
Just finished your gym or what?
Obviously, someone's got to keep this old body fresh first. It's not going to be you.
Thanks for taking the time, my boy. Are you ready for your 10 quick fire questions?
Boy.
Sure, let's see. All right, cool.
Dude, funniest guy in the PSL that you've played with?
You, bro. Hands down, 100%.
Beautiful. Ooh. Flashiest dresser?
Me. Totally. Tekko was, for me, probably one of the most well-dressed boys out there. Always, always well put together.
Lovely. Worst dressed.
Yay!
Jeez. Had to name one. Let's do Fire Magu, many years back. Yeah. Let's just say he liked keeping it simple.
Yes, I remember him. Worst mistake in a match?
My mistake? Jeez, missing a penalty against Zambia. I think I hit the top stanchion at the stands.
Yeah. Teammate who thinks he was funny, but he actually wasn't.
Gareth Devine.
Best footballing memory?
I've actually got 2 on a path for me. When I was at Manchester, taking a picture with Beckham, meeting Beckham, watching all those boys train 998, and obviously scoring against Algeria for the Olympics, my first goal for South Africa. So,
and that might tie on your next question. The best goal in your career?
Best goal in my career was a goal I scored in Europe. It was on a halfway line, half volley, keeper off his line, hit it from far, and it just found the net.
Favorite car?
My favorite car is DB9.
Favorite local food?
Curry. I'm from Durban.
And your favorite local holiday destination? Oh, no. Your favorite holiday destination?
My favorite holiday destination would probably be Stockholm, middle of summer.
Stockholm.
That place is good.
Rano, thanks so much, my boy. I really appreciate it.
Lekker.
How many PSL players going to name Stockholm?
Stockholm. At least he's been there.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Jeez.
By the way, both of you guys got named in that.
Yeah.
Name
not
drop.
Bad, eh?
Funniest and best dressed.
Not sure about the best dressed, but funniest I can tell.
For sure. Jealousy.
Came through with the hype beast gear today. You know what I mean? You know?
He's looking good today. He's looking
streetwear
good.
gang. Yeah.
Shorts I'm not sure about, but the rest, yeah.
Come on.
I'm not sure about funniest player over
I'm
here.
I'm not sure either.
No.
Teko. Cape Town City.
Chief.
Under pressure.
Tell me about it.
Big time. What is happening? What's happening?
Look, man.
Played 14, 13 points, 13th on the log.
Peeling Makola's whole situation.
Oh.
New coach.
Dude.
What's happening?
I think this has been the worst season for Cape Town City.
Well, there haven't been many seasons.
But ever, you know. And I think for the fact that the team is not doing well, from the beginning of the season, you know, getting knocked out of the cup that you won, that you're supposed to defend, and Benny leaving the team, and then the fans.
Surprisingly.
Yeah, and then the fans not actually coming to the games as in numbers as they used to. And then now the new coach that is also still trying to implement his own style of play, and still haven't scored a goal. And it's a problem. And also, I think what also comes to that when the media start writing stuff about Cape Town City as well is sometimes the coach gets emotional about doing maybe the post-match interviews, you know how the media is. If you're nice to them, they're always going to be nice to you. And I feel like maybe sometimes he doesn't give maybe the good press conference that they're expecting him to.
So of course, well, he is Dutch.
Of course, and then of course it's going to come back to him. But also, I think in a nutshell, man, the team is not doing well. And I think we deserve what's been written about us. You know, we need to take it.
Yeah.
I mean,
constructively.
Of course, and figure out what is it that we need to improve and make sure that the team is back where it's supposed to be. But then again, you've got 17 games to go in the league. And I think if Cape Town City can just find themselves in a good position to actually play the top eight next season, I think that would be best comparing where we are right now.
I don't see why not. I mean,
It's just that we any game that we play after the game, we feel like we're struggling with that department. We need to beef up that department. And the scariest thing is not many good players are available. So now you tend to look at if we have to sign somebody, is he good enough to actually come and help us, or is it the same level as the
just
guys that
are
in the team?
You
know, so that's the challenge that we're having. And also, we don't have the big pockets like other teams in the country where you can just go Uruguay and like, boom, come, chief, come and help us, you know. We're still struggling with certain departments. We're still struggling with the center back. Of course, we're still struggling with somebody.
You just signed a Greek boy, right?
Yeah.
Is he taking time to settle in? Or?
I think it's taking time to settle in, which is expected. And I think if he came earlier, maybe during the preseason, he could have catched up with the game. And we're still struggling with somebody that can actually help Kemet if Kemet is not available to actually put the ball in the back of the net. And I think also with the injuries that we had, I don't think initially we had a good preseason because of now you started seeing players falling down with injuries and all that
stuff. What do you mean didn't have a good preseason? In what way? Preparation?
Preparation. I don't think we had enough preparation or maybe enough challenge in terms of the preseason, because when you're based in Cape Town, you can only have few friendlies that are give you a little bit of resistance. But then again, if you have to travel, maybe go to Durban, maybe go to Joburg, where there's so many teams that actually can, you know, you can test yourself and see yourself where you are. And I don't think we did it this season. We can look at those things and say, but we maybe last season we did the same, but we played well. But then again, it's a catch up for last season. You know, it is what it is. I think we should. This is the lesson that coming next season, everything that when we start the season, we need to start afresh and we need to start everything right. The preseason needs to be proper. The players that are within the team, the number needs to be proper. The quality needs to be proper. And then we can start talking about trying to win something. But for now, I think we need to consolidate our position and our pride and be in a good position.
And the new coach and his new style of play, do you think it's going to fit in? I mean, if you look at his resume, in my eyes, it's been more of head of youth, you know what I mean? That sort of youth, which is very different to becoming a coach of a first team.
It's very difficult. But then again, if you have the kind of coach, you know exactly that it's gonna emphasize on the passing lines, on the passing patterns, on the body language, or maybe how you receive the ball. And he's been doing that at the training. But yet again, when I was watching the game that they played over the weekend, we had so much ball position, but we couldn't turn a cheapest defense around. You know, they never struggled. The goalkeeper didn't have to do much, and yet again, you get so much ball position. I think we need to be more creative. Of course, it brings a little bit of a dent because Makola's not there, and he's one of the most creative players in the team. Of course, we're not creative enough, and we're not scoring goals. I remember when we were doing so well, we had a team that you can find a goal from anywhere. We had 2-1-1-1. Everybody could score the goal because of the free-flowing football that we were playing. But then again, you've got a coach now that actually coach. And I like the fact that he coaches so that you can improve the players. So now sometimes also the players also, it takes time for them to adjust because of players also want to do their own thing. They want to have freedom to play this and this. I think if his system comes together properly and he finds the players that he needs within the team, I think we might have Cape Town City back, and maybe we might even play better than we used to play.
I hope so too.
And I mean, off the pitch you have a small victory. The appeal for Makola is going ahead, and the timing of the Sundowns CAF Gagana situation coming to light actually helps them, because now we can compare our PSL handbook in terms of the rules to CAF's. So you know, they're raising that as a point. So the PSL handbook carries 6 months at least for assaulting a match official. I don't think very many people knew that, and CAF's is only 4 games. Do you think that this is an opportunity for us to look at the rules and go, we have to be on the same page here. Like, we can't differ this much.
You know what? I'm exhausted actually talking about this, but I mean, it's just, I still feel 6 months is ridiculous. Mm. I really do. You know, you've got a player who knows he was guilty. We've been through this. He's put his hand up. He said, cool, let me get my slap on and wrist in my 4 games or 5 games, whatever it is, but not 6 months.
Yeah.
You know, time will tell what's going to happen. I hope for Cape Town City's sake and Makolo's sake that, you know, it gets reduced. As you say, you guys are missing him massively.
Massively.
Dude. Massively. It's a big dent in the park. So time will tell, eh? I hope it just doesn't drag on.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Because imagine it drags on as long as
which it can.
You know, so best of luck to Makolo in that situation. Yes. Let's take a look at the Sierra Gobosa section, the CS special. If you guys don't know, you can pick up the paper for $4. Four rands, you know what I mean? And we've got the midfielder.
Boikanyo Koman.
Yes, indeed. Defensive midfielder for Chippa United, 27 years of age. He can also play centre-back. Mm. He's been linked with Chiefs and SuperSport United. Deco, I remember you telling me that you think SuperSport is the better fit.
SuperSport is the better fit, especially with the way he plays, and also they want to replace Dean Firmin, and I think he's a better replacement because he can play the ball, he also can bite, and also he needs a chance also to grow. Now if he goes to these big teams, we might not see his true potential because of the pressure that comes with that and the demands of the game every week in. So now with SuperSport is one team that actually allows a player to mature and grow. We can see the
Kaitana. He's 27 Tumbo. Already, yeah.
Yeah, but still doesn't mean that he's a matured player when you're 27. You know, in South Africa, you get an opportunity to play in the PSL with 26, and then 27 already start moving. But then again, I just wish that he makes the right decision and go to SuperSport, because I know that at SuperSport, Kaitana Tumbo will give him a fair chance to play. And yeah, man, we might even see the best out of him. But because when he was still playing for Chippa, even Chippa when he was struggling, he's always been one of those players that
he's been a standout player for
sure, and for so long. And I think it's the right move for him. If he can go there, and then he can grow as a player. And man, it's always nice, you know, to win trophies as a player. You always want to be in the position where you can actually win trophies, and SuperSport will give you that. They're forever competing for something. What else in Chippa? Yes, they're competing to survive all the time, every year, season after season.
He's definitely got to move. That's right.
So he has to move up either way. Yeah,
the SuperSport midfield is quite compacted already, don't you think? I mean, they've got Tebogo Mokoena, Jamie Webber, who's coming in, Tipu Mbule. They've got two youngsters in Jesse Don and Luke Leroux. Do you think there's still room for him there?
Yeah, but they don't have a person that can actually play the Dean Firmin's role. They all have attacking players. Whoever, Mokoena, they're all attacking players. They don't have somebody that can bite. Even on the bench, you can see how much they struggle when Dean Firmin is suspended, because they don't have anybody that can play there. They used to have, which was Njangas, I think, he went to Marispe. They used to have the kind of a player that can actually come in. But you know, Dean Firmin, when he plays. So now that he actually said that he's ready to bounce. So it's easier now to get a replacement, and I think this boy will actually do well. And yeah,
about a Katsanda swap.
Yes, and that's the thing. You know, they haven't Kaizer Chiefs haven't renewed Katsande's contract, so he is a potential replacement there as well. Katsande's also 33, getting on in years. Maybe they get some fresh legs.
Still playing like a 23-year-old at some stage.
I think in South Africa we need to start looking at the player the way they play, not the age.
I
think we need to get to that stage. Katsande's still playing well, still doing what he's supposed to do.
Absolutely.
Let's forget about the age. Let's look at how he works. Give him the contract if you think that he deserves it. If he doesn't, don't use an age as an excuse.
Yeah.
That's it.
I agree.
I hear you.
Well put.
Do you think that he could rise to the challenge at Chiefs, though, Komane?
He's certainly got enough quality. I do agree with Teko, though. I think SuperSport is the right decision. But at 27, he's going to start seeing dollar signs.
Yeah.
I hope he's got a good agent, which are very minimal in Southern Africa. I don't know. I think he might be a bit starstruck and go to Chiefs. That's my honest opinion.
True.
Yeah.
If they want to get rid of Katsanda.
That's the thing.
That's another thing.
Like, do you sign him up just as a precautionary measure, if you're Chiefs, or do you wait to sort out the Katsanda situation first?
No, it's weird. If I were Chiefs, I'd be throwing out the contract at Willard, to be honest.
Of course.
That's my opinion.
I don't understand why Kaizer Chiefs actually get to a point where we actually discussing Katsanda's contract coming to an end. I mean, he's been serving the team for so long. And that actually comes and shows you that people are speaking about loyalty in football, not in this part of the country. There's no such thing. Like, you can give your team everything that you have, but when it's time, they'll treat you like, you know, you never did anything for them. I think in your out of respect, they should be giving Katane his contract, whether the team still wants to use him or not, or whether the coach still wants to use him or not. I think it's one of those things that you need to call Katane in the office and have a proper conversation, heart-to-heart conversation with him.
They've done it with Parker, eh?
Yeah. I mean, it's out of respect, dude. You know? And since Katane from Ajax, he's been a Kaizer Chiefs person.
Like, 300 games at
least. Yeah. So, man, give him respect. But I also think, like Sean has said, I don't think it's going to be a right fit. Not that I'm doubting his talent or whatever. I've seen good players going to Kaizer Chiefs and start fading. Yeah. And after that, they back to Mvela. That's not a good sign, because I know the demand that comes there, every game that you play every week,
it's big.
A car final. It's a big game. So now, he hasn't been in that position yet where every game that he plays is a big game because it's cheaper. But then when you go to Supersport, yes, there's certain games that are big, but there's certain games that are just, you know, average games that you can play against Morocco, you need to win.
You can sometimes hide a bit,
I'm saying that Supersport thing, it will give me enough room for him to actually grow and mature as a player. Then you can go anywhere you want to go.
Dollar signs, Baba.
And interestingly, Komane, he was NFD about two seasons ago, right? Two, three seasons
ago?
So it's meteoric rise at the moment. So I think this is probably the biggest decision he'll make in his career.
No, absolutely. Yeah. Look, if you can perform a chipper, you can perform at most teams, I think. If you're a standout player at a team like
Chipper.
I was waiting for that.
Chipper!
Would you rather be the best player on a trash team or the worst player on an amazing team?
Correct. 100%. Yeah.
All right, so I got Neil Tovey for my starter pack. The great Neil Tovey. You know, of course, he seemed a little
exasperated.
Yes, exasperated with me.
What does that mean, guys?
He's just, you know, this young boy in my ear.
You'll explain.
Tell Google.
You'll hear his energy, but we love Neil Tovey.
How can you not love Neil Tovey?
Play that.
Well, it was quite unique that my professional career, my first jersey number was number 9. Mm-hmm. And I've continued to basically wear it. That 9 and number 6 have basically been my jersey numbers throughout my professional career.
Number 9 and number 69.
69. What are you trying to tell us, Mugugu?
I think this question probably works better for you, Deco, because I assume you wore number 1 for most of your career.
1 in 30,
Jersey numbers and the significance to you. Why select the jersey numbers that you had over your career?
Honestly, for me, number 10, I never selected number 10 to start with. I've always been like a number 3, number 5 when I was very, very young.
By choice?
Yeah, by choice.
Why?
I don't know, man. It just did. I never saw myself as wearing number 10 at the time.
Yeah.
I was just... You know, I was always surrounded by good players, and I always thought that they were way better than me, you know. So I'll hide.
And when did that change? What you said there? When did that mental change kick
when
in?
When I got a professional contract, then that's when I realized that actually I am that good, because from no development structure, from the dusty street straight to the PSL, it doesn't happen these days.
Sure.
So when that changed, and then of course you get to Real Stars, all the jerseys are taken, so you're young. But after moving from Real Stars to the NFL team, they gave me number 10. What else? There was so many great players there. You know, the legends, Shakespeare One was there. Roger Futumbo wanted to sign with the team as well. So there was so many players that the management could give the number 10 to. Mm-hmm. Still, I was still the youngest player within the team. They gave me number 10, and that's how I played with it. Even at Sundowns, I never asked for number 10. They gave it to me. Even at
Rally. And if you had a choice, if they said, take all right, here's the jersey numbers 1 to 40, you'd take 10?
I'll take 10 because now I've been recognized as number 10. Yeah. And even at Orlando Pirates at some stage, you know, Joma agreed for Pirates to give me number 10.
Yeah.
And but that's when I wanted to leave. I didn't want to stay based on the number itself, whatever the case may be. But still, even at Cape Town City, when I came here, the issue was like, so now we're going to take number 10 from Pat. I'm like, guys, I'm okay. Mm. I've done what I'm supposed to do with number 10. I'm okay now. I just want to come here and play. Which jersey is available? I said, no, what? I said, no, give me 8. The reason why I wanted
8
was what Lebo did for the team, And I think if there's one number in Cape Town City that is more significant than other, it's number 8. Based on Lebo won the Football of the Year, I wore it and I won Football of the Year. Makola comes in, he played for a big team. So our number 8 in Cape Town City.
Significant number, yeah.
Yeah, it's a number 10.
Nice. And Sean, number
30? I was number 1 throughout my career, and I forget, I think it's when I signed for Sundowns.
Mm-hmm.
So it's such a big squad, bro.
Yeah.
29 other goalkeepers.
Jesus, bro. Just give me 30. And then it just stuck with me, you know? Just stuck with me, yeah. So ever since Sundowns, I think I've had 30.
Number 30. Yeah. And of course, you know, I've been a number 10. I was born a number 10. I'm a legend. You guys know.
I think there's number 10 to other teams. Doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't, like for Polokwane City, you find Maluleke is wearing 8. That's the number there in that team.
Yeah.
So in Chipa, it doesn't matter who is number 10, because you had never had any player that was standing for them for such a long time that you can actually identify with them. So I think it's one of those things.
And plus, I think recently numbers for the team, it depends on who the best player is there and their role. And then you decide, okay, this number has significance.
Yeah.
So number 7 for attacking teams is quite significant. Number 4 in the midfield, whoever plays that number 4 role.
It's like a Beckham as a 7, you know?
Yeah. A 10 achieves... Let me sip some coffee.
New meme alert.
No, but it's just that I've always had this issue with anybody that wears number 10 at Kaizer Chiefs.
Mm.
I think they should, at Kaizer Chiefs, they should treat number 10 the way they treat number 15. Merely because at number 10s, you had your Sheikh Skungwane, who actually people were paying to go watch Kaizer Chiefs, to go watch this guy.
Mm.
If he's on the bench, people actually beg the coach to put him in. Mm. That's how much joy he brought into the team. And this number 11, where Skara was also wearing, you know, there was Teenage Dlala that was wearing. There's so much history in so many numbers at Kaizer Chiefs. But lately, those numbers are just given away.
Mm.
Meaningless.
And now, once that player will start wearing it, there's so much pressure, they fail to perform. Yeah. Tell me, when was the last time a player that was wearing number 10 at Kaizer Chiefs played more than 2 seasons at Kaizer Chiefs? They always play 1 and then they bounce.
Mm.
Has there ever been a number that's been retired at a club?
It's 15.
15, I think.
But they won't come out and say it. Nobody uses 15. Nobody should. Nobody will until doctor approves.
Yeah. I think that's the one that's the cool. Most deserving.
Well, I didn't know that. That's why I asked.
Yeah. But still, you're at Kaizer Chiefs, my friend. Everywhere you go, you've got so many fans. You're guaranteed 40,000, 30,000, depending on how well you've been doing.
Except your home games.
Yeah,
except your home games. Except the FNB. But I think the number 10, no disrespect to the person that is wearing it right now, but I think the number 10 jersey at Kaizer Chiefs, you should be very, very special. And it should be on the pitch all the time.
Yeah. Mm.
You can't be given number 10 jersey and then you're forever at home, you're forever in the stands. It should be a number that you're always on the pitch. And I think that's important.
Definitely.
Agreed.
Fantastic. Yo, so we have the Telkom knockout final this weekend.
Mm.
Sundowns versus Maritzburg United. Sundowns looking to win their first domestic cup since 2015, I think. And it was the Telkom knockout last time. Last time around, they beat Chiefs 3-1. Maritzburg United chasing their first major trophy in the club's history. And funnily enough, Eric Tinkler's last win was in the 2016-17 season, where he won the Telkom knockout. So interesting matchup. Sundowns, obvious, you know, clear favorites, I'd say. It's the cup, so it's difficult to predict. How are you feeling about this?
Yeah, I think after watching Sundowns last night as well, not really convincing the first 60 minutes or so.
Mm-hmm.
They've come back with a horrific penalty decision. Teko, did you see that? Your friend Temba?
No, I didn't.
My man.
I had low shitty.
Bro, it was Timber a dive with a note.
Dive, yo. It was...
But 1-0 down, come back to win 3-1. You take that into the final with that mentality.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's a Sundowns win all the way, unfortunately, hey?
Yeah.
Well, fortunately for Sundowns, but that's just my opinion.
And, you know, we did actually... We made the wrong prediction last time we tried to predict Maritzburg United, because we thought the Chiefs would make it to the final, the dream final.
Mm.
But Eric Tinkler proved us wrong. Do you think he has the chops to do it again?
I think if there's one game that he'll try and draw inspiration from, it's that game against Kaizer Chiefs.
Sure.
Mm.
But then again, you're playing against a team that knows how to win.
Mm.
a team that strive on big games. They enjoy big games because now their players actually knows how to play the big games consistently.
They've got experience in that, yeah.
Yeah, against Kansas Chiefs, you're playing against a team that is on form. So now you're playing against a team that is very consistent in big games. I think it's all going to go down to who's mentally strong, especially on Maritzburg's side. I think it's going to take a lot from them. You know, the legs, the mind, you know.
They've got some experience in there.
Yeah, but experience not in cup games.
Yeah.
You know, and with Sundowns, they'll play a cup game like they're playing league. Mm. You'll see Mshishi doing a back heel like it's nothing because they used to play in Champions League in big games.
So in your opinion, you're saying, but not in cup games. So what's the difference now? I mean, you've had plenty of cup games, plenty of league games.
Yeah.
What's the difference? For the people listening out there, like, what would you say the difference is?
The difference is with the league game is you know that, okay, for the league game, you want to win.
Mm.
Of course you want to win. But if you didn't win, you always know that, you know,
there's another game.
Yeah, there's next week that I can catch up or make amends of the points that I lost. With the cup game, especially the final, you know that this is the one opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And the challenges for small teams is the bonus structure now becomes crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, if you win this, you get in so much.
Right.
So sometimes it takes the focus away of winning the game. You're just thinking about the money. Mm. So now you become emotional in terms of the game.
Mm.
You don't play according to the tactics anymore. You just want to be emotional because you want to win the game at all costs. Well, sometimes you need to use the brain actually to win the game. Like, for instance, if Maritzburg, they don't sit that deep, but they always defend as a group. They're always compact. They'll frustrate Mamelodi Sundowns.
Mamelodi Sundowns
strive on playing the balls behind. If you don't give them that kind of space, at some point, because of Mamelodi Sundowns, because of the ego, because of the pride, they're going to open up because they want to actually go and bloody win this game. That's when the opportunity will come through. But now that opportunity might come on 80th minute.
Mm.
But now if Maritzburg becomes emotional, first 20 minutes is 2-0. There's no coming back.
Yeah.
Look, if there is a coach to exploit any of Sundowns' weaknesses tactically, it's Eric Tinkler.
Yeah,
we've seen that. You know what I'm saying?
He can.
Yeah.
Especially with Mamelodi Sundowns' fullbacks playing that high, I think he can.
Yeah.
Because he's got speed up front, he can. I think if Keegan also come into party again, if team comes to party, I think they're capable.
Yeah.
They're capable of causing problems for Mamelodi Sundowns because Mamelodi Sundowns, honestly, they are beatable.
Mm.
Especially now around, they are beatable. But it's just that when it comes to such games, you cannot write them off. It's one team that you can't write them off because you never know on what gear they'll come in.
Yes.
You know, they might come with five gear, then 30 minutes, it's 5-0. Serrano's got a hat trick, what? But that's Mamelodi Sundowns. They might come again the way they played against Chiba. They had to come and equalize last minute of the game. They actually go and win on penalties.
Mm.
So you never know. They're not that consistent anymore. But I'm saying, like, I still feel like Maritzburg stand a chance if they don't go into this game emotional.
I mean, I agree, because in the most recent match, Sundowns, it really was a tale of two halves, as you said, Sean. It was first half, you're wondering where's the structure, or, you know, where's that passing play that Sundowns love? It just wasn't clicking, and then suddenly second half hits. Sure, Temba dived for the penalty, but they were attacking. He had to get into the box somehow.
Yeah.
And when Sundowns are like that, they're scary.
Mm.
Then it becomes...
Like going forward, they're frightening.
Yeah, they are.
Do you know what I mean? It's not the prettiest of places to be defending against Sundowns, that's for sure.
Definitely.
And Chiefs, for that matter, at the moment. But you see Pizza with the Casablanca fans? How are
you? Yes.
Just taking selfies and...
Saw this,
How epic was that, eh?
I didn't know that he could take selfies.
You're not an opposition, like... Imagine like Klopp with the Everton fans just...
man, he's well-respected, eh?
Of course he is.
Pizza's well-respected.
Yeah.
He is. I think he's more respected out there than here. And that's what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, Mamelodi Sundowns get so much credit from CAF itself, you know, from teams that are playing in Champions League, because they're forever consistently there and they're forever playing very well. So I think you're going to get some kind of recognition and respect. And I think he deserves the respect that he's getting right now. And I just hope that, you know, given a chance, he can actually win the second one in the Champions League. You know, that would be so great. And actually, if you remember, so after Mamelodi Sundowns won the Champions League, other teams as well within the country started believing that they can.
Yeah.
And before Mamelodi Sundowns, I'm not going to lie, Orlando Pirates actually gave us hope that we can, because they went to the final.
That's under Roger.
Like, what if Mamelodi Sundowns can, Pirates can go there? I mean, we can.
Yeah.
So we started believing that, man, you know, we actually can. And once once we did it, you could see now other teams now started actually paying attention to Champions League. They wanted to go, because Kaizer Chiefs never wanted to play Champions League before.
Yeah.
They always have excuses, or they always lose so that they can come back in here. But after Mamelodi Sundowns,
they finished ninth.
Yeah, but now it's and that's where the money is. It's guys, that's where the money is. Once you get into group stages, you're getting paid to be in a group stage.
You know what the bonus is to win it?
Huh?
Do you remember what the bonus was to win it?
I think it was 20 something million.
20 million?
Yeah, 20 plus.
I can try and Google that one time.
Yeah.
But I mean, even to your point, you know, it is good money. It inspiring other teams now. Bidvest for the first time in their history are in the CAF Confed Cups, not the same one, but it's essentially the Europa League of Africa. So, you know, it's and now everybody's going to chase a top two spots, you know, because they're going to want a guaranteed African competition.
Be in the presence, absolutely.
Definitely, but... you had the chance to talk to Sander Westerveld.
I did, my old teammate from Ajax.
Yes, indeed, Lee, and also part of that Liverpool side that did so well. This is a fascinating discussion that you've had with him. Shall we?
Let's have a listen to what old Sander Westerveld from Holland said.
Specifically, the full interview will come out next week.
Yes.
Yes, that's right.
But what we've got on the show today is him talking about fines at Liverpool, since we chatted about fines at Chelsea last week.
Yes.
So here we go.
On the podcast last week, I managed to get hold of the fines. I don't know if you saw that I posted on Instagram, the fines that Chelsea and Frank Lampard have implemented within the change room. Do you remember what sort of fines were in place when you're at Liverpool?
Yeah, I'm not sure about these fines. I'm not sure if they were 100% right there, because there were some funny ones in as well. The only one I remember, that's maybe a good story as well. We had, in my time, I replaced David James. And David James was like a good looking guy. And once he was approached by a big brand in fashion. And I heard the story, so they told me that he walked up to Hulier and asked, what is the fine if I miss a training? He says, well, if you're late, you're going to pay £5,000, but no, if I really miss training one day, without a good reason, Hulier says, well, so that's £30,000, Hulier says, that's a week's salary, and well, you can do the math, but... So the next day or the next week, he didn't come in for training. He got fined 30,000, but ended up doing a photo shoot with a big fashion brand, and they gave him 50,000 pounds for that. So in those days, I played with a lot of teams, and the only big fine we had was 3,000 pounds if there's in the meeting if your phone was ringing. But for the rest, it was just your own responsibility. If you were late, you weren't playing.
Yeah,
and that hurt the people most. We didn't have any bonuses for games.
Wow, that's changed over the years, eh?
Yeah, I know, but still, yeah, that's right. Yeah, well, when I played my final year, they were the first time they came into the Champions League history in Liverpool, and that was the first time they got so many bonuses from the FIFA, and they started the bonus the whole bonus and the bonus system after I left. So yeah, the story of my life.
Story of my life.
That's fantastic. So the full interview comes out next week, Wednesday. That's Wednesday.
Quite a goodie, hey. It was a good chat.
Yeah.
Fantastic one. 30,000.
30,000. 50,000 pounds for one afternoon. Shoot.
That's the thing, is you weigh it up, I suppose. Well, you know.
Yeah, but I want to know, in that situation,
I want to know if he wasn't asking beforehand so that he could tell the ad agency, look, whatever you're paying me, you have to add £30,000 for that.
Exactly.
Yeah. He should, like, the agent should have done something there, you know, just been like, because you do also go through an agent for like modeling stuff. So it's like,
well, Teko will know.
I don't miss training sessions.
Yeah, it's a big one. Hey, I think, that's on termination grounds, you know, to terminate the contract. If you miss a training session like that for more money, how do you not get fired?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I mean, the whole thing is that I wonder when in the season this was, because, you know, early in the season, maybe that's forgivable, but say it's like April and it's like crunch time.
But David James is a troubled player. I mean, he was addicted to PlayStation. He would stay up till 5-6 in the morning.
Yeah. How did he choose that one?
Oh, well, what a kill. What a goalkeeper, eh?
Definitely. Legendary.
Reminded me of me.
Leaking goals left and right.
I'm sure your back is sore now. I'm picking up the ball. Yeah,
cool. Well, I managed to get hold of, I didn't manage to get hold of anyone, but Keegan Dolly eventually seems to be fit after shrugging off all these injuries. He was on the bench beside Montpellier over the weekend. Makocho came off after 71 minutes on Saturday's 2-1 away loss to Sheffield Wednesday. So he's got 10 starts and 5 sub appearances and 1 goal already. Lebo Motiba scored and then came off after 75 minutes on Saturday's 4-2 home win over Toulouse.
Very nice.
Lebo Khangpiri scored in Friday's 3-0 away win over Paris FC. He has 14 starts to his name.
Fantastic stuff.
Not too shabby, hey? The boys are representing, Teko.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to see that Keegan is back, because I think those injuries have delayed actually his progress there.
He's a hell of a talent, eh?
He's a hell of a talent, and I wish like he can have the stats like other guys as well. Yeah. With probably 10 or 15 stats.
He's engaged to Travis Graham's sister, right?
Yeah. They've been dating since they were 2 years old.
Oh man, and by the way, I wanted to run this past you guys, but I saw today, actually this morning, Bongani Zungu is being linked with a move away. So other teams in League One are interested in his services, and also Espanyol in La Liga. But I don't think he should go there, because this season, particularly for Espanyol, they're dead last. So
really, threat.
You don't want to see Bongani Zungu in the second division.
No.
Yeah.
But to have Espanyol on your radar,
of course.
It's a big team.
It'll be great, man. You know, we need players, especially to play in the in Spanish league.
Yeah.
You know, we only had Tepo Masilela as well. I think he played there. So we need Bongani to play there. League One, it's fine, but Espanyol can sort out their issues as well. I think it would be a great move for Bongani. You know,
so is Tepo the only player that's played in La Liga?
Yeah, he played in La Liga, Tepo.
It's the only one, eh?
Yeah, it's the only one that I know of. And then it'll be great if Bongani plays, especially with the role that he's playing as a midfielder. He's going to learn a lot. And then you're facing all these great, great players, you know. You're going to face your Toni Kroos. You're going to face your De Jong, you know. Those are the things that for you to actually grow as a player, you need to actually play against those ones so that you can know and actually gauge yourself and how far are you. And I think it will be great for him. Of course, League One is there and they only have one big team, and then they always win the league with 10 games to go. So there's not much of a competition. But I think in Spain, for growth for Bongani, especially with the position that he plays, it'll be great.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Sean, but if Espanyol scouts have Bongani on their radar, surely other Spanish teams also have heard of him and know what he's about and all of that.
That's the thing, eh? Like, once you're in Europe, once your foot is in Europe, you're in Europe.
Yeah.
That's the biggest mistake I made in my career, was leaving Europe.
Yeah.
Stupid f***ing idiot.
Idiot, bro.
But I got to meet you guys. So, yeah.
Consolation prize.
So still an upgrade.
Exactly.
We've got weekend Premier League games.
Do you want to look at last week's predictions before that?
Come on, Simon.
Yes.
Please.
Log standing.
Killing me, dude.
Scores at the moment are Tekor 16 out of 26 now, Sean 17 out of 26, taking the lead, and Sludog 15 out of 26.
Too easy this game, man.
But the City United game caught everyone by surprise.
Oh, that was really depressing.
Everton, Chelsea also.
Yeah.
Imagine Everton. They just lost now, and then all of a sudden, boom.
New coach.
Chelsea.
Yeah, I guess.
New coach.
Me, and it's Chelsea. It's not like Chelsea have been struggling like that. Everton. And then even United.
Lost money on that bet.
What is with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer just.
Everton lost me money.
Bro. Everton. Did you put some betting there?
Yeah. I was like, Chelsea win. I mean, it's
gambler.
Tough.
Yeah.
No, man. You know, sport personality.
Gambler.
Do the thing.
Just repping the brand.
I'm just repping the brand, dude.
And then even like, I swear, every time Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is rumored to be about to be sacked,
he wins.
Back to back ones as
well. Ridiculous, eh? I heard there was like alleged racism as well in that game, the big city derby, which was.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Now, wait, is it ever going to end?
It's been like coming back up again in Europe a lot this season. It's hectic. You know, Sterling has spoken out about it. You know, and there's players, you know, Lukaku in Italy. Italy's been really bad this season in terms of racism.
But I think Italy's always been bad.
It has.
If, remember the Balotelli.
Yes.
Balotelli.
When they were just throwing banana peels.
I was about to say Ballando. Balotelli story. So it's always been bad in Italy. But I think FIFA now should be taking, you know, harsh steps in this kind of things. I think maybe teams also in the EPL should play in an empty stadium.
Yeah.
You know how the fans are in England. They love their teams, and if they can get that kind of punishment, you know, they'll stop. I mean, it's very unnecessary. We know that you have to cheer, and you can boo your opponents. It's fine, but you know, when it's a racial thing, it affects the game. You know, and it affects the player as well emotionally, and that's the situation that I wouldn't want to find myself in. I don't wish that for any player. I think the FIFA should come in.
Yeah.
So bad.
Because the thing is, you don't know what it could lead to. You know, racism is one thing, but fans can fight in the stadium. A lot of people. It could be a stampede if it's the wrong situation.
But I've never heard, and I could be horribly wrong, but I've never heard of a white player in South Africa being racially abused.
No.
Because it's a predominantly black sport. I mean, let's be honest.
But
it's
if it happened, whoever that is, it hasn't come out.
No, that's the thing. Yeah. I've never...
Never heard.
I certainly haven't.
I mean, they'll definitely point out their skin color, but not as an insult.
Yeah, not as an insult.
Yeah. It'll be like...
The worst thing that happened to me was we're playing Sheffield United away, and some of the guys were sharpening their £1 coins and throwing them in the back of me.
Serious?
Yeah.
So I made like £20, you know, it was cool.
Make it rain for sure.
Yeah.
Hectic.
I don't know how actually react on that. Yeah. Like, I'm a very emotional person. I don't know how to react on that.
Stickles in the stands, he's throwing hands, yo.
Because man, football, man, it's a beautiful sport. You know, it's a beautiful game. They call that for a reason. And when somebody comes to the stadium to actually make other people miserable, that's bad for the game. Don't come if you don't want to support your team. Don't come and make other people 100%. Bad.
Yeah.
And if somebody's good as an opponent, let them be good. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like you, there's nothing that you can do about it because you're there to cheer your team up.
Mm. True.
Do your job. Let other players do their jobs.
Yeah. I think in South Africa, the only problem we've had with fans is them showing up late. That's it.
You know, and booing players.
Yeah, and booing players. Yeah.
And what do you call it?
I've been a culprit. Yeah, the stuff.
Changing.
Yeah, I've been in those situations. 60,000, my friend.
Take him off.
60,000, my brother. I've been into that situation. It's just that I really like to hear how Kabuza managed. Kabuza.
So let's get him on the show.
Yeah, he hit the top, then he had to take off his top, whatever the case might be.
Make a note there, Simon.
For me,
Kabuza.
I started hating going to training after that. You know, I was not even showing interest in going to training after being booed. Imagine being booed by your fans and
your own fans, bro,
and your opposition as well.
Yeah,
like whenever you touch the ball, boo, and I'm like, dude, for me,
can I live?
You know, can I live? I mean, really. And
we are humans.
At the time, they didn't know what I was fighting for, what I was dealing with,
because
I was fighting to go overseas. But
this is the problem, bro. There's no gap. And this is what I feel we're doing in this podcast, is bridging that gap between the fan and the player.
Mm.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's such a big distance between the fan and the player these days. And I hope that this podcast does is sort of bridge that gap and understand that players are still human. They make mistakes. They f*** up. We're not,
But exactly. Also, Sean, I think if we can also get a situation where players are being given a platform to actually speak. Mm. Because I think fans, the only thing they think or they assume that footballers are just footballers. The only thing that they know is just to run after the ball and that's it. They don't have feelings. They don't have emotions. They need to behave like a professional footballer. So number one, what's the criteria of football? How do you supposed to behave?
Mm.
So now you're telling me that I can't go to La Parada and have one drink just because I'm a professional footballer?
Mm.
So it's one of those things. But now it's going to take a while for actually players actually also to speak up about certain things. That guys, football is a career, just like you having a 9-to-5 at Old Mutual selling insurance.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing to me. After work, I'm Tiko Murisa. So there's other interests that I have.
Sure.
So I need to also do that to balance it off. So
is there a formal players union where all of these issues are kind of brought to one forum?
No. There's a players union, but let's not talk about them.
I don't want to talk about players union.
It is I'm not even going to talk about them.
Yeah, no.
Oof. That's it, eh? Just like that. Boom. Just
sensitive.
I just want to have coffee.
But for sure, I mean, as time goes on, we'll be getting lots of players on as guests and sort of diving.
Yeah. To just give them platform, you know?
Yeah, absolutely, bro. Definitely. Absolutely.
Okay, let's make these predictions.
Yeah? Right, so I've got three games. Sorry, Sli, I always interrupt you, bro.
Indeed, you hate me. I
don't hate you, bro. I dislike you. Man United, Everton. United home game. Everton just coming off a win against Chelsea.
Mm.
United coming off a win against City. I'm going 2-1 win United.
I'm going to go 2-2 draw.
2-2 draw. Teko?
Can I think about it?
No.
Because I'm hurt.
No. In 5 seconds, I need an answer.
I'll give him a new win.
Thank you. Arsenal City. Arsenal at home. I'm going Man City win.
Man City 5-0.
Convincing.
Easy.
Slew dog.
I'm going Man City, but I'm going to have it be tighter. City's defense hasn't
been great. You can't go the opposition to your team.
I have to.
There's
points on the line.
This is not a true fan.
The difference between supporting and making a prediction.
Jeez. Okay, so three Man City wins. Liverpool, Watford. Liverpool at home. Convincing Liverpool win, I think, for myself.
Convincing. Yeah. Liverpool unstoppable.
Untouchable.
They are annoying.
Yeah, it's not going to be Watford, hey?
No. I think in that Sander Westerveld interview, he goes into why Liverpool are superior this season. So,
but watch this be the one game that breaks their streak.
Who? Troy Deeney? Is he going to score against you?
Are you Troy saying a Watford win?
I'm just saying. I'm a Liverpool fan who's been hurt in the past.
Right.
Yo, if they don't win, I'm blaming you. I'm going to be like, Simon, you ruined it for your own
team. Shy is going to come in here and slit my throat.
Nah, Liverpool won't lose this day.
No,
not anytime soon.
I don't think so. Slew, you want to touch a little bit on the Champions League, bro?
Before we do, Telkom knockout predictions.
Yeah, Telkom knockout.
Sorry, yes. Telkom knockout predictions.
Yes,
Telkom, I'm going to start with you. After you stop clapping like a seal.
Is that spanking?
No, chief. Oh.
Take a result.
Sundowns. Maritzburg.
Yes, sir.
I can't go with underdogs this time. Which are Mamelodi Sundowns.
I'm
kidding.
Mamelodi
Sundowns. It's they stand a chance of winning it, but it's going to be a tight game.
Yeah.
Tight victory for Mamelodi Sundowns.
Yeah, I think Sundowns win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going in extra time. Sundowns win.
Extra time, Sundowns. Yeah.
Dude, I don't want to stay there long in that stadium.
Are you there, eh?
Yeah, comrade. The game is in the 90-minute celebration. It's out.
Oh, is it? Where's it? Durban.
It's in Durban.
Oh, ooh, and it's gonna be.
Have you got your shirt for your fan?
Huh?
Have you got your shirt for your fan?
Yeah.
How's this guy, eh? Teko, I speak. What do you say?
The most convincing. I've been busy this week.
I actually forgot, but I'll sort it out.
Well, I've reminded you now.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
That's what friends do. You see that?
Thank you.
Quickly, Champions League.
Champions League group stage is wrapped up. The draw is still to come. Man City and Liverpool finish as group winners. Chelsea, Tottenham as runners up. We could have a fiery round of 16.
Mm.
Based on that, Real Madrid also runners up. So we could have some big matchups there. Very exciting stuff.
When you say big matchup, you're talking about Real Madrid against who?
It could be Real Madrid against Man City. It could be Real Madrid against Liverpool, because of the way the seeding is.
Okay, as long as you're not saying Barcelona, because that's not a big game. It's a training ground.
Barcelona.
A training game for Barca. We're just training.
Oh, yes. Speaking of Barca, Ansu Fati, youngest Champions League goal scorer.
Yeah.
What a goal, eh?
Yeah.
Solid goal. And we wanted to do comparisons to youngest PSL goal scorer.
Who's that? Is this Lekele?
Yes, indeed. He was 16 years old, 7 days.
But was it Lekele at the time or was it Mutsiri? Do your work, chief.
Teko, Spannerworks, Modise.
Do your work. He was Mutsiri then. It's Silas, I think, ne?
It was.
When he was
you
Silas,
mean he changed his name?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
It was Mutsiri.
Why?
That's what we're trying to find out.
Let's get him online.
We got it.
Investigate, comrade, why you became Mutsiri.
And you see that fan that jumped on the pitch to try to get a selfie with Ronaldo?
And then he was fuming. He was hella angry. Mm-hmm. Like,
That's not the first time I've seen Ronaldo being angry like that.
But he's got every right. I mean, he could have had a knife.
Look, I'm not a fan of the guy, but if someone jumps on the... Cristiano Ronaldo is the most arrogant man alive. Well,
you've got to be arrogant to be that good.
No, you don't.
Messi has entered the chat.
Again.
So I'm not a fan of the guy, but if someone's jumping on the pitch, you've got to go like...
With the phone, looks like it has like reflective surfaces. It could look bad, you know what I mean?
Security, by the way.
Especially if they're running at you like...
No, but how many cases we've seen when somebody runs to Ronaldo and actually take a picture or whatever the case may be? It's always been, Ronaldo so always has time for his fans and whatever the case may be. So what was different this time?
Well, it was during a game.
Yeah, but also it happened also so many times during the game. It happened to Ronaldinho during the game. It happened to Neymar. Mm. It happens to all the big stars. It comes with being a big star. I understand sometimes you're not in a great mood sometimes, but you need to understand you put yourself in somebody else's shoes all the time. It's annoying, but I mean,
deal with it.
You're a superstar. You are there with your six pack and what. Hey, come on, take a picture. What's wrong with you?
And then lastly on the Champions League, just to show you that you can't always carry a team all the way, Erling Haaland, the Salzburg side are out despite him being the second highest goal scorer in the Champions League.
It's unbelievable.
Eight goals in six matches.
It shows that he has to play for big team now.
Right?
Yeah. And he's still second after eight goals.
He's still second. Yes. Lewandowski
doesn't stop.
Jeez, 10 goals. Beast. What is going on? If Bayern Munich make a run, he could set the record, I'm pretty sure.
What is the record? You know, Sli?
I know Ronaldo has it. I think it's 16.
Yeah, I think it's 16.
16 goals for Cristiano Ronaldo.
When he won Ballon d'Or.
Yeah, yeah.
That is insane.
Yeah.
I think maybe there's a reason why he didn't take a pitch. He's still mad at Messi.
It would be super on
brand.
I think that's now 4 car washes in a row we've had this conversation about Ronaldo Messi.
I know. Over it. Right. Sticking with Ronaldo.
Yes.
Car of the week. He just bought himself a £9 million Bugatti Levoteur Nure, which is £150 million car, bro.
That's some players get transferred for that price, man. Like
could pay for some countries.
It's 150 million.
Bro, I mean, are you serious?
But that's I lost Ballon d'Or, so let me
replace it with a £9 million car.
£9 million car.
It's unbelievable.
Can you imagine what the insurance premium on that thing is?
He doesn't care. Doesn't he just matter. Swipes, bro.
Doesn't matter. I'm sure the car probably makes coffee inside. It should. It better. It massages me when I'm in traffic. It be better.
Damn straight, boy.
No, there's just a baby oil dispenser for
it. Absolutely. Sanitize it.
25-year-old stripper that just pops out.
Yeah. It better give me something just other than just driving it.
But guys, joke of the day.
Oh, here we go.
Brace yourselves.
Are we ready?
I told you have a poo-poo-poo thing, Wendy.
Are you ready?
I don't know.
Here we go.
I got this.
DJ Strella.
DJ there. Right. What tea do footballers drink? Penalty.
You know what's the worst part about these jokes is that there's a part of my mind that tries to figure it out.
Exactly. And then, I hate the fact that I wasn't trying to figure it out.
And then the answer is just like, what the f***?
It's so good. So bad, it's so good. Do you know what I mean? Thank you. Right, we end off on a motivational quote of the week, as usual. A resourceful person can see an opportunity when others only see obstacles.
Very
nice. Courtesy of Sean Roberts. Thank you, Teko.
I really like that. I really like it. That actually, it reminds me of something that a video that I watched.
It's so vain.
That quote reminds me of a video that I watched this week with a very nice sentiment that says, before a certain point last century, it was nobody thought that you could do a mile under 4 minutes. And then since someone did, 20,000 other people have done it.
Crazy.
So it's like the second one person does it, suddenly everybody sees the opportunity. So it's, no matter what the obstacle is, I like that.
Thank you, Slipaho. Are you going to say goodbye? Are you going to wrap us up?
Yes, yes. Oh, yes. So this is my last show for the year, but you guys are back next week.
We back.
With a special guest host, Clint.
Is he bringing drinks? You better.
It would be super on brand.
You better. Last show.
We have to.
It's December, boss.
It is December, boss.
That.
So this is the penultimate episode, second last for the year before we're back early January. And there'll be so much to talk about then when we're back. But it's been fantastic.
As
this
usual.
Season one of the Car Wash.
Season one? It's not half season of
season. Yeah. Half season, yeah.
Half we're going to half season break.
Half season break.
Let's get it right.
Yeah. Season one.
That.
But my boy Sean,
thank you,
and my G Teko, has been truly real to everybody
Simon.
And to Simon.
Thanks,
you know,
Simon.
My editor, Simon. Simon Strella. but to all the fans and listeners, it's been real. Thank you for all the feedback. Keep following the show. We do it for y'all. We do it for fun. We do it for the love of the game. I am Slu Paho, and that is the way I sign out.
Hey, you're signing up, you're improving.
Today is a good day for Car Wash.
Come with your ride.
This is the Car Wash on Sokola Duma Radio. This is a Hangana Corner.